All right. Thank you all for attending this short aftermath talk. It's a 30-minute talk to give some transparency about the MCH 2022 summer camp. I think just yet there was this introduction for the next CCC summer camp, which I'm looking forward to, so I missed it because I gave another talk. I want to see, I'm looking forward to it, so I want to know everything about it. We like to be as transparent as possible and as an organization, and it's also nice to just get some memories back into our heads of the last camp, which was really nice. A lot of people that are here also helped build MCH, so thank you very much. I'm looking forward to work with you in the future. This talk will answer the following questions, like, there was a lot of drone footage, so what happened with that? Some of you might already seen it, but an aftermovie has been created from it. There are some statistics I'd like to share. How did we do financially? Well, we're not broke, so hooray. Some loose ends and what will happen for 2025, and of course, what's the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything? Easy. You know this. One of the cool things of this, of the last Dutch Hacker Camp was, there were a few people with really awesome cameras, or not so awesome cameras, but really knew how to make pictures. I included a few of them, because they're great. Thanks for making those and sharing them online. There are some awesome drone footage, and I would like to share that to, get some memories of the last camp and get hyped for the next CCC camp this year. There's some music, and I'll just let it play. Buffering. See what happens. We also have learned that this room needs a sub, because we cannot compete with the lounge now, and that's a problem. Okay. Take your time, then we'll fix it here. I'm on the right network. I don't want to go to the YouTube version of this one because that, it's a kick, a slap in the face of the people making this. I'll give it one more chance. I'll reload it. It's on 60 seconds, so it's a pretty smart player. Let's give it one more chance and then switch to YouTube if it doesn't work. I think the sub bass will start also in a moment, so if you. Let's try in three, two, one. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for making this camp happen. It's always nice to see these memories again. And yeah, there were so many more pictures, but yeah, you can only fit so many in one video. Next time, get a better drone, better distance, and a drone flying course, and one day course of editing, because it's now YOLO. So next, we have to raise the bar. So the bar is at this point not very high. I can show you, if we have time left, I can show you some generic after movie, which might be a aim for festivals like this. So, but more on that later. Yeah, I love this photo. It's like we had this ridiculous stage, and we didn't plan for this stage at all. We ordered a stage that was half the size, but somebody said, like, you can use this stage if you try it out for like half the money. It's like, okay. They said yes. and it was like really outsizing everything at all. And we've checked, like, do we want to have this same stage again, or do we want more stages or smaller? And some people opted to have like the entire camp on a stage. So we'll see if that can happen. But that's a challenge for next time. This time it was a hit, and this was a lot of fun, but we don't aim to be a music festival. So yeah, it just happened to work out like this, which is pretty funny. So a few numbers. There are 30 to 20 hackers attended the events. 80 friend tickets have been handed out. 1,100 cars, 150 campers, 500 shuttle trips have been paid, and 2,400 merch items have been sold. Like those hoodies, it's always the same thing. Nobody orders in advance, and when they see them, it's like, oh, I want to have a hoodie. Yeah, sorry. One time only. So there's also some loose ends. If you organize a festival like this, you work with a lot of suppliers. And of course, we had COVID, and still a lot of people are wearing masks here, which is inspiring. I will wear masks from now too. That's but like the festival scene in the Netherlands was ridiculous last year. For example, the power company did not deliver on time. They delivered like 5 days too late. We got the power equipment from the biggest Dutch hardcore dance festival. Because, yeah, that was the only stuff they could get. The stuff that we were promised was stuck in France because of the festival there went bankrupt. So we didn't have any generators because the curator, or was it the person that's doing the sale of the stuff from the event, just held them hostage. And, well, Akreka was sold out, so... And that sucked. That pushed some people into burnouts. So they owe us. And also, we had like a scouting landgoed, the estate where we are on. The funny thing is that they double booked us. They had like, we were on one planning system, and we basically had the entire terrain. But it appeared that during the event, while we were there, there was another planning system. So they double booked most of the terrain. And then, like, that's their core business. So it's going to be very interesting how they fix it. What we did is we looked at the square meters that we had to hand over to them or had to reserve for them, and did not pay that. And we are very friendly, I think. And they're angry with us for withholding that amount of money for those square meters. So I'm really interested in seeing how this works out. And if they also squeezed all the other parties to pay, so they made double the amount of money. So it's a bit shady what's going on there, and I hope that they will see that. Otherwise, we'll have to find a new location. And there's plenty for the budget that we pay them, like 100,000 euros. There's plenty of fields available, so we'll have to see. But there. The good thing about the scouting is that they're extremely flexible, on the other hand. So there are some really awesome volunteers there that we don't want to lose. So also, if you have a festival like this, you need water. If you don't have running water and you don't have toilets that can flush, your festival will be over in a day. So we tried to get a water vendor, but all water vendors in the Netherlands, all suppliers for like water hoses and pumps and whatnot, were all booked. Like everybody, we called all companies and ended up with a friend who does Camp Zone, another camping gaming event that helped us out. And they made it happen that we could have water during the event. Otherwise, we would not have an event at all. So it all came down to a few very specific people. Otherwise, yeah, no event. For next year, I hope it will be better. And we're trying to close the financial year, and I can show you some numbers. We had a lot of problems getting the event off the ground because of COVID. We had to make a lot of down payments. Usually in the Netherlands, creating an event is like, oh, I want you, and you, and this supplier, and you can go in that date, and there will be invoices later after the event is over. That was the usual way of doing things. Now, everybody wanted to be paid in advance, and it was 20% more expensive. So we had like a lot of startup donations by people risking their money in order for us to do some down payments to get the thing off the ground. And if it would fail or there would be issues, then no way that we could give it back. So we were clear on that. 1,000 people thought this that we could do it, and it turned out to work. But without that support, we couldn't have done it. Also, we had a sponsor team that had like 185,000 euros in sponsoring money, and that magically disappeared by all the price increases from all the vendors. So instead of like having 200,000 euros to do awesome shit, it's basically going to the bare bones stuff. So that's not really awesome. We really needed that because we were really unsure in what situation we ended up. So in the end, we had like 1.5 million euro turnover, which is for this festival, this small, it's a pretty sizable amount. So this is what the bank account looks like. So you see a ramp up and some down payments and ramp up. And then, yeah, you see the event, it starts. And then the bar income and some other income happens, and then we pay bills and bills and bills, and we end up there with... I can show you the amount of money that we had on the day that we make this slide. So that was the amount of money that we still... we donated 11 cents to make it 1337. We then still needed to receive 100,000 euros in VAT back from the tax authority. We've received about a number of that size. We did do some payments, and I think we're now at the 80,000 euros. So that's more than we wanted to make. We started with 40, now we are at 80. So we have to give that money back to the community somehow and reserve a part of that for the next event. So a part of that will go back to the community, to projects that make the scene grow, mostly in the Netherlands. So if somebody wants to found a hackerspace, then they can just say like, hey, I need a legal entity, and then you get the money to get your legal entity and make sure that all the paperwork is in order. Or if you have like a project that brings people together or grows the hacker community in one way or another, there's funding for that as well. Of course, to make the event organizing for the next event, not just the Dutch one, but all hacker events easier. So if you need some funding for to get things off the ground, you're welcome. Somebody wants to make a picture. Also, the next event, this regular expression is the regular expression that we use to name the Dutch hacker camps. it's been we reverse engineered that from all the previous events, and it's a complex mess. But it's at least for this decade, it's valid. So what will happen in 2025? We don't know yet, but we hope the event, like the sector, the event sector, will stabilize again, will work more on a trust basis again instead of only down payments. And we hope that COVID will not find a massive resurgence. But yeah. There will be a Dutch camp, but I don't know who organizes that. Like, I think a lot of people from the current orga will help out, me included. But for the board itself, which is now me and Henry, I will leave because I think it's time to make room for a younger generation to, make the choices, make the decisions, learn, and to, get a new, new line of blood inside of the events. And I've done it for two times now, for Sha and for MCH as chair of the board. And I think it's time for somebody else. So I will help with getting the event off the ground, and I'll help with whatever I can do. But the board has an open vacancy, so you all know this now. Actually, it has two of them. For secretary, which is really a lot of work, and for the chair of the board, which is also a lot of work. The thing is, the board itself is just a very small thing that has like end responsibility, but it delegates all the organization to a project leading group. Though they make the decision, they make notes and they everything. And only when like things are really, really dire, we had to do one thing as a board last time. We had to at a certain point when things were looking really grim in terms of finances, we had to. Like, yeah, we have to take that budget back, we have to take that budget back, and we have to alter things. But that is something that rarely happens. So normally the board is just, it's serious in a way that you are responsible. So if you fuck it up or your organization fucks it up, you are responsible. But on the other hand, it's not too much work. So I just want to get it out there. Yeah, organizing hacker camps is awesome. If you've ever organized a camp, well, you know this. If you've not done this, please do. We've got BornEC this year, we've got CCC camp this year. I know, was it HIP I heard? Like, there's like a lot of camps this year, so help out. It's a lot of fun. You get to know a lot of people, like how they are in normal life. And yeah, it's always good to do something physical instead of like only sit behind your screen. So yeah, that's it basically. Oh yeah, the answer to the ultimate question about life, the universe, and everything. My slide deck found it was 6. I'm sorry. So if you have any questions, I can answer them if you want. It's one question. I will repeat the question for now.
If you want to go back to the slides with the financial roller coaster, did it really went? What's the red line? Because I see a blue line and a red line.
Yeah, good question.
Okay, good. I see the red line dipping negatively multiple times. So I was curious if you just.
Yeah, but loaned. I think those match the. Those match the events that you see on the blue line, but I don't know in what fashion. I think those are the absolute numbers or something, and there's like a really weird thing happening with the bar income. Sorry? Yeah, it's what's getting added and subtracted, yeah. Okay, we have the solution.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you get nervous with a graph like this? No, not if you budget it well. Because if you run a foundation and you budget your things well, you document your decisions well, you're reasonable, you're doing reasonable choices, sensible choices that other organizations, which are also legit, do, you cannot go wrong in the Netherlands. It sucks if you go bankrupt, but you don't go bankrupt yourself. Other hand, if you buy like nice cars and go on expensive holidays, you're fucked. So, so this is nothing to be nervous about. Anyone have a question? If not, then thank you for your attendance and see you around.